coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca.
At the Hard Rock Cafe. Come to the Hard Rock Cafe.
Well, by now you've probably heard of the Hard Rock brand. It is one of the most iconic brands in entertainment in North America. Well, now the Hard Rock brand is growing and expanding, and it's hooking up with Harness Racing, which is good news for the folks at Northfield Park because they're the newest partners with Hard Rock in developing a proposed gaming and entertainment center in addition to the harness racing that goes on at Northfield, that track that all of us are familiar with in Cleveland. With us, we have Jim Allen, chairman of Hard Rock International, and Brock Milstein, chairman and CEO of Northfield Park. Jim, we'll start with you. How did this whole idea come together?
I think that when we look at the opportunity for, you know, a gaming and entertainment facility in the state of Ohio, it was just a natural fit with us, with obviously Brock and his Northfield Park organization, which, you know, by far is the most successful racing facility in the state. When you look at it from just its history and from its current, you know, from cleanliness to just their operations to its profitability. And when Brock, you know, allowed us the opportunity to become a part of this, and his vision was to build a separate structure for the, you know, the gaming activities and the entertainment, it just seemed like it was something that was a wonderful opportunity for us. We're very enthused, and we look forward to hopefully opening this facility sometime in the future.
Well, you've got good reason to be enthused, because let's face it, Northfield, and this is a real credit to your people, Brock, Northfield has been able to draw the kind of business it has without the aid of a gaming facility. You guys turn over a lot of handle, and you do that with horses that aren't exactly jug-quality material. And I'm not trying to be smart. I think that is a stroke of brilliance.
Well, thank you. And I look forward to showing you what we can do when we actually have the, you know, some of the advantages that some of the other racetracks around the country have had for a number of years.
Brock, you've watched jurisdictions around you agree to expand gaming for years. Ohio's not quite there yet. For people not quite up to speed on the legalities of slots at racetracks in Ohio, can you give us an update?
There's a group that has brought action against the state of Ohio and some of the other commissions in the state. They're challenging not only some of the VLT issues, but also some of the issues relating to the casinos. And we are hopeful that the judge will rule in the state's favor and allow us to move forward with this this plan, because, as you said, other states have gotten a huge head start on us, and we need to get going.
Now, what has been the government's attitude towards racing in Ohio? Ohio is a bedrock for harness racing, but what has been the government's attitude towards it now that, for the most part, you know, the sport has fallen on hard times?
The government's been very supportive of racing over the years. The issue is, as you know, there are very few things today that can make a substantial impact, especially when, you know, the competition out there has purses that have been fueled by VLTs or slot machines. So the state's been very supportive. It's just been the mentality in Ohio for a long time to not want to proceed with doing what other states have done. And now that the voters have voted for this type of activity, the state has been very proactive in, you know, in trying to get a kind of an all-inclusive plan together to maximize revenues for the state while also helping to improve the industry, the horse racing industry.
Jim, the plan calls for a $275 million Hard Rock project, which would include, obviously, the Hard Rock-branded gaming center. Geographically speaking, how is the Cleveland area serviced for what the entertainment center will provide? Is it underserviced, over-serviced? What kind of reach do you see this thing having?
Well, I think that one of the exciting things about this particular project, that when the state of Ohio approved the ability for the existing tracks to have VLTs, it now adds another item on the menu of entertainment, another amenity, if you will. And I think that one of the things that we've been able to do, you know, over our 40-year history is to, you know, not just be another restaurant, not just be another hotel or casino, or, you know, live music venue. We've really been able to blend really the most unique marketing plan probably in the world with the world's largest collection of music memorabilia and most valuable into an educational, into a historical, into almost a museum, you know, kind of experience, obviously on top of the retail, which, you know, God bless us, but people just, hard to go to an airport anywhere in the world and not see a Hard Rock shirt or hat or cap or something. So people have just become so tremendously in love with the brand that it really creates more than just, you know, a restaurant or more than just a casino or more than just a box. I think to your comments, you know, with Brock's, you know, unbelievable success there in Ohio at Northfield Park, you bring the two together, and I think this really creates a whole other destination in the Northfield, Cleveland, Akron area of the state of Ohio.
Well, this is what I find interesting because, you know, normally organizations like yours would want to hook up, say, you know, with the Indians, you know, have a setup at the Jake or with the Reds for that matter or the Bengals, whatever the case may be. Why harness racing?
Listen, I think there are certain states in the United States that you say the population – frankly, the regulations that have been created, the tax rate, the amount of jobs we can create in the area, they all added up to say that it made sense for us to respond to, you know, the process that Brock was going through to attract a gaming company to become involved in his operations. There are certainly some states where you'd say the population isn't there or the racing industry, it doesn't have the history and the success. While certainly dwindling, you know, the horse racing industry on a national basis, but Ohio is a pretty amazing state. So we felt with the demographics that were there and its geographic location, this just made a lot of sense for us.
Well, you got a point there. After all, it is the home of the jug. Let's face it, Jim. What's the timeline for the project?
As Brock mentioned, you know, certainly we are being respectful to the existing, you know, legal action that is happening. Once that is resolved, assuming that it works in favor of continuing to move forward, the construction process would be 12, 13 months or so of the actual facility once all designs are completed.
Brock, you are the envy of a lot of tracks because, let's face it, your purses are not huge, yet you seem to get the kind of handle that most tracks would kill for. What have you concentrated on to solidify your spot and provide a product that fans and customers of racing both enjoy to watch and wager on? I guess what's your secret?
Well, I wish I could tell you in 30 seconds what the secret is, but really it's been a culmination of hard work by our team over 10 or 12 or 13 years, maybe even longer, full-card simulcasting passed in Ohio in 1996, and it's just one of those things where we've reinvested heavily back into the business, and we've got a great team that's worked hard, and it's just built up over time.
Timeline-wise, what's the expectation for when purses at Northfield could be impacted by both the VLT approval and the deal with Hard Rock?
Well, I you know, the VLT revenue, the purses are a function of VLT revenue.
Mm.
So, you know, I think that the most logical place on that is that, you know, it'll, you know, the purses will start to increase either shortly before or after we begin operating the VLTs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Jim, not asking for too many specifics because it is a confidential arrangement, but does the deal you struck with Northfield deal with revenue allocation and what percentages would be assigned to the state and each organization?
We get a commission of 66.5% in the state. Gets 33%, 33.5% of the revenue.
Let me make sure I got this straight. The state gets 33%. You guys get 66, right?
Yes. But we, you know, that what goes along with that is a $50 million license fee and a minimum capital investment of $150 million.
No, I'm saying that out of jealousy because with our setup up here in Ontario, the track gets 20%, of which 10 goes to the horse people, which is fine. But, you know, you look at 20% as opposed to 66, and you're thinking, wow, you know, what a country. But anyway, Brock,
I don't think it's that apples and oranges. I think with the spend that we're going to have to make, we have to buy the machines, by the way, on top of.
Well, we took care of building the actual infrastructure and the building itself for all the slots, and the government gladly uses our property, and for that we're honored with 20%. But I could get myself in trouble with that. Brock, how much have you taken away from the state of horse racing in Ontario? And what assurances can you give to the fans and horsemen that you'll learn from Ontario's mistakes?
I think the biggest mistake that people have made in the industry in general is that, you know, they get a little crazy with expectations. And the gaming business is very competitive, And you know, it's, you know, it, there's people and states are always looking to expand even further. So you really have to be careful with how you invest the money. You know, make sure you prioritize, you know, what's going to drive the business. And obviously, I think having, rather than just putting slot machines or VLTs at a racetrack, that you do something that's more all-encompassing, that creates an entertainment facility as opposed to just the gaming experience.
Yeah.
I think those are really the two keys in that I've picked up from watching what other people have done over the years.
One final question, and it deals with how much of that slot money should go specifically for marketing in conjunction with the racetracks. We in the racing business know we've got a great product, but we haven't been telling our story as well as we could. Part of that is a historical problem. Before, when we were the only game in town, we didn't have to tell our story. If you wanted to gamble, you went to the track. Obviously, that's changed now. Jeff Gorrell noted that 87% of USTA members in the states of Delaware, New York, and Pennsylvania agreed with setting aside a portion of slots money for marketing. What are your thoughts on that idea?
You know, we are going to market the property with VLT, with a portion of the VLT revenues, but you can't just market just to market. There's got to be a reason to market it, and people are going to want to have to bet on the horse racing, regardless of how much money you spend on TV commercials and print ads and internet and everything else. So I think a big part of the thing, of what we've been able to accomplish with as little as we've had, is that we really focus on what giving our bettors what they want. And I think if more tracks focused on what the bettors want and creating an exciting experience when they watch and bet on horse racing, I think that that's, you know, as important, if not more important, than the dollars that are actually spent on outside advertising and marketing.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for this. This has been very enlightening, and obviously we're in a broader sense in this together, given the state of horse racing across North America, particularly harness racing. So we do wish you the best, and we look forward to Northfield Park continuing to beam out its signal, and now with the partnership with Hard Rock, be even better than ever. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
At the Hard Rock Cafe.